Record the message for us. All right, looks like we are now recording. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joint and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray. God, I pray you hide me behind the cross. Use the message you've laid upon my heart to touch thy people, to encourage thy people in a most difficult time that we live. And Father, we pray that even though all of us suffer loss because of this coronavirus, that we have not lost our salvation, we have not lost our hope, we have not lost our faith. We trust in you and believe in you. And Father God, I pray that you will give us courage, that even in this most difficult time, we will be the light to the world that is looking for hope. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, the last 4 days have been days of sadness for a number of families here at the Dover First Baptist Church. Some of you know that Janie Ratty lost her brother, Jim. I thank God that he was saved. Angie Rickey, as I mentioned a little while ago, had a second loss in their family over just a few weeks. Anthony Torres passed on from the COVID-19 virus. I had a nice talk with Mina, and she too lost two special family members to COVID-19. You know, folks, grieving the loss of a loved one is a very deep and difficult challenge at any time in our lives. But this pandemic has magnified the sense of loss and the sense of mourning. I read this morning that the COVID-19 virus has now taken more than 89,000 American lives, and the world has suffered the loss of more than 310,000 people. Family gatherings and funerals are on hold for now. Empty places, missing faces, and lost traditions have all frequent this pandemic. It's not something we expected, but it's something that we can get through because all things are possible with Almighty God. Without question, this has tested the resolve of those that are grieving and hurting. And again, I challenge you to remember them. If you are here today and you're mourning a loss of a loved one, the Word of God has important, special, loving, kind words for you to keep in mind. And I hope that you'll be focusing on listening, because I want to share some of them. While it is common to think of loss and grief only in connection with death, life itself is full of losses that must be acknowledged and coped with. with God's help, we can manage them to His honor and glory. We have all suffered a loss of one kind or another because of the coronavirus. This pandemic has created the loss of jobs. Some of you are affected by that. Some of you have had to work from home. Some have lost out on their education, graduation, and vacations. You might have experienced a financial loss. We've all suffered lifestyle loss. Some have suffered because their bodies were attacked by this virus. Folks, people are suffering loss. And every day that we continue fighting this virus, there will be loss. Now that's the bad news. The good news is God knows all about it. And He's already ahead of us, working out our recovery. And that is what the writer of Hebrews states in verse 12. And folks, we get our courage, we get our spiritual strength from the Word of God. And if you're going anywhere else for that at a time like this, sad to say, you will come up short-handed. The writer of Hebrews said that the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive. The Word of God, if you'll get into the Bible, will speak to your heart even about the situation of life that you're encountering now. The Bible is powerful. How many times have you sat down with the Word of God and allowed the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and a verse spoke to you in a powerful way, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow. We're going to get into that in a little bit. He knows our losses. He knows our pain, and He knows our sufferings. We must now, more than ever before, rely on the truth of the Scriptures and what it can do for each and every one of us who are God's children. And folks, I want to tell you that the Psalms are a wonderful place to start. And we have a whole Bible, but there's just something about the Psalms at a time like this. To hear the heart of David as he struggles in travail with life's crisis and situations. They can lift your spirit in an unexpected way and bring you peace, comfort, and courage. I often go there in the mornings because I know I need God's strength and encouragement through these difficult times. For not only has this virus affected my family, I know that it has affected yours. And that lays heavy on my heart as your pastor. Our help is always found in the Lord Jesus and in His Word. And He speaks to us through His Word. And He ministers to us through His Holy Spirit. I hope that during this difficult time when things are not normal, that you are relying heavily on the Holy Spirit of God. I want to ask you a question before we launch into my 3 points. Are you struggling with loss today? And it does not necessarily have to be the loss of a loved one. Maybe you're struggling with the loss of your freedom, the loss of choice. That's something we're not used to. When we want to go somewhere, we choose to do it, and we go. But unfortunately, we're not able to do that in every situation. Are you struggling with the loss of employment? Or is it just the whole concept of the loss of normalcy in everyday life? Any loss can bring about grief and pain. But my good friends, the Lord is also familiar with grief. And there is nothing that's happening in your life or mine that He is not aware of. Today's outline for this message is introduced with three P's. And that should make it a little bit easier to remember. First is petition. Petition the Lord Jesus and His compassion. Depend upon the preaching of the Word of God and pursue the Lord's comforters. Let me begin with petitioning the compassion of Christ. When the experience of loss happens, Jesus knows all about it. He is aware of everything. Nothing is hidden from Him. We find that in the next verse of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Nothing is hidden from God. The word that the original writer used is the word aphanes. Aphanes. Now that doesn't carry into any translation in English, but it does carry the idea that nothing escapes the eyes of Almighty God. Solomon said in Proverbs 15 and verse 3 that the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. And the Bible causes us to realize that nothing is hidden from God. Not even the least trivial pain or thought that you have. He is aware of all of it. And He loves you. And He desires that you come to Him with every complaint and also with every praise. The psalmist said that when we do that, we glorify our Father. The Bible also tells us that Jesus was a man of sorrows and that Jesus was acquainted with grief. There is nothing that's happening in our lives that Christ is not fully aware of and His own life was touched by. In Isaiah 53, many of you are familiar with that passage, verses 3 to 5, and I'll read it. The Bible says that He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. This was our situation in life before we came to know Jesus as our Savior. And the Bible tells us that before we loved Him, He loved us. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Do you believe that? Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Maybe you're not letting go and giving them to Him. The promise is that He will bear our griefs. He will carry our sorrows. And even though He did bear our griefs and carry our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. We are saved. Are you saved? If you're not saved, there's no way you can access the wonderful power of the Holy Spirit that I'm talking about. If you're not saved, there's no way that you can deal in human flesh with the sorrow and the loss, even the loss of what was once normal. This passage presents to us a question. What would He, our Savior, be grieving over? Perhaps it was the loss of a perfect world that God created. I know there are times where my heart goes back to Genesis 1 and 2, where God created a perfect paradise for man to live in. But man chose to know the evil, and we have paid a price ever since. And so did God, for He so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Perhaps it was the loss of his position that he held in glory from eternity past. I can't even fathom what that would be like, and none of us can. He understands loss because he suffered loss. Folks, I hate to say this, but loss is a reality of life. But it doesn't have to cause us distress in life to where we barely function. The very fact that the Lord Jesus walked where we need to walk gives us comfort and courage at the very same time. He grieved, and there will be times we need to allow ourselves this process so we can cleanse our soul. I know that our moms and our dads are trying to be strong and courageous during this difficult time for the sake of their children. But all of us have a breaking point, and we kind of lose it. And that's the reality of life. And that's when we need to go to the bosom of God and seek His strength. I can share in His suffering, and I can bond with Him as I go through loss too. I can be confident that He knows how to comfort me, because He has been there and He has experienced all in human flesh. The writer of Hebrews chapter 4 gives us much to contemplate during this time where the coronavirus has cost us the loss, to lose rather so much. We do have this truth affirmed in our text in verse 14 and verse 15 of Hebrews 4. You will note the words, "be touched with the feeling." That's five words in the English language. The Greek language is much more efficient. In fact, in Greek, it's but one word, and it is the word sympatheo. It's where we get our English word sympathy. And it means to feel for, to have compassion for. God has compassion for His children, and He loves each and every one of you. Folks, it was Dr. Gary Collins, who is a noted psychologist, who said, and I quote, that grief is an important normal response to the loss of any significant commodity. You note the word commodity. Of course, it also refers to any significant loss of a loved one. He goes on to say, it is an experience of deficiency and anxiety which can show itself physically, emotionally, socially, and spiritually, unquote. The first thing that we need to do before a holy God is to be honest and to tell God we don't understand what's happening. But you do, for there's nothing hidden from Him. And God, we don't understand all that You're doing, but we know You have a plan, and we know that You are good, and that You have a purpose in all that You do. And Lord, we want to be working together with You through this crisis to see many, many souls come to Jesus Christ. We may be living in the days before the rapture of the church. We are beginning to see the shadows of the signs of the end times. You and I, we cannot fully prepare when loss comes our way. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that's in us, that guides us, protects us, comforts us. In fact, is that not one of the names of the Holy Spirit? The Paraclete, the Comforter, the one who comes alongside to comfort you. Folks, what what does our Father tell us in the Scripture? He says, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You need to believe that with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and all of your soul. And God will revive you. And He will tell you, you can go on in the reality of this life. Refuse to believe or live in the lie that so many propagate, that time will just take care of it all. Yes, time will fade the pain and maybe soften the blow, but only God can carry them away. Amen? Because the Scripture says He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The second point is we need not only to petition the compassion that comes from our Savior, but we need to bathe ourselves in the preaching of the Word of God. And that happens in a number of ways. When we get into the Word of God, the Holy Spirit preaches to us. Does He not? Honk your horn. Yes, of course. And God also uses those who He has called to be preachers and evangelists and teachers to preach to our hearts. We ought to avail ourselves now more than ever. I was talking this morning with Brother Jim, and he said to me that Gloria, our dear sister who is elderly and unable to come, that she's spending more time listening to the Word of God than she ever did before. Amen for her. And that's where we all need to be. Because the world is looking for hope. And you and I can bring the message of hope. The psalmist said, listen carefully. David wrote this, my soul melted for heaviness. Or in other words, my heart is heavy. And he cries out, strengthen thou me. But listen to how he asked God to strengthen him. David said, strengthen me according unto thy word. Folks, if you're not in the Word of God, this crisis is going to cause you to be anemic. David is saying here, my soul is heavy with sadness. However, I know I can be strengthened through the preaching and the teaching of your word. First, you have to do some assessment of your loss and allow yourself to accept the loss and to trust God in it. I'm a preacher. I'm used to preaching from a pulpit to a church where I could literally see your faces. And regardless of whether you know this or not, the pastor, when he preaches, he feeds off his congregation. It's important because the Spirit of God moves in that way. And we've kind of lost a little bit of that, haven't we? But I praise God the day when we will get it back. God has given you wisdom and compassion to work through your loss. If you're struggling with that, you need to go to the book of Job. When we think of loss, we often think of Job. Job lost everything except his wife. But the Bible tells us in James that Job trusted the Lord and he saw the end of the Lord. That God was merciful and gracious and kind, and He restored Job twofold to what he had. I do believe when we get back inside the sanctuary that there's going to be a greater love for one another. There's going to be a greater desire for church. Because we never truly appreciate what we have until there comes a time when we lose it. And maybe that's part of God's plan, and if so, let it be. For God is good. He knows exactly what He's doing. The onset of new behaviors and expectation, it may be daunting, but God gave you your previous normal. And God can give you grace and hope in what we see right now as a new normal. Now, please understand, I want us to get back to normal. And I hope that that time comes sooner than later. But it won't come if the church is not prepared. God wants the church to be prepared. Prepared to truly worship Him. That we don't come through the doors of the church with a facade. That we come back and the door is open for the Lord Jesus to be in the very midst of us. That it's not about us. But worship is about Him and Him speaking to us. Ask Him to give grace and hope to you every day. Let Him lead you to a place where you can relax and let Him beam, as it were, His light into your soul. Don't walk in the path of distress, but allow the Holy Spirit every day to say, you will get through this because I walk with you every step of the way. Trials do not indicate a reduction or a lack of God's love. He loves you, and He promises to make things right again. So spend time focusing on His inescapable love. Maybe what you need is to go through the Gospels and read every place where God speaks of His love to you. One of my favorite verses is found in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 37 to 39. I'll read it quickly. And I challenge you to go home and to spiritually digest it. Paul says no or nay in all things. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We are called to be the conquerors. Not defeated. For I am persuaded, Paul said, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Amen. Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My last point, and I'll be brief. God desires not only that we petition Him, not only that we allow preaching to fill our hearts and our soul, but that we pursue the Lord's comforters. That means you have to acknowledge that you need others. You need your brothers and sisters in Christ. And God has blessed some with the gift of compassion and comfort. And I know that we have people like that right here in this parking lot. And you have been a great comfort to me. Sometimes it's just a card. Sometimes it's a wonderful dessert, and I praise God for it, because it speaks more to me than about a snack. It speaks to me of your love, and it speaks even more of how you love the Lord Jesus. Some people know just the right thing to say and the right thing to do to encourage others. It is not a sign of weakness to reach out. Because you need comfort. Their words can give strength to those who are discouraged and comfort to those who are grieving. These people have been given a wonderful gift of God, and they are sensitive to be in God's service during this time. Scripture testify over and over of many who God enabled to encourage others. I often think of Moses. What a job God called him to do. Even if he was the best and greatest multitasker in the world, he still couldn't have dealt by himself with millions and millions of Jewish people. And God sent to him his father-in-law, Jethro, who went to him and encouraged him. And Jethro gave Moses wise counsel. And there are people out there who are available to talk to you and to encourage you. And as your pastor, I'm here to do the same. Paul found strength and encouragement in Timothy, young Timothy. We read that in the letter, the second epistle that he wrote there in chapter 4, verse 9. Paul experienced trials throughout his life, but God sustained him by placing godly people, godly friends, faithful friends like Timothy and Onesimus in his life. They provided support in practical and even sacrificial ways. And God wants to develop into you and into your heart the kind of Christian love whereby you can encourage others. And it begins by that person who God has gifted, who comes along to encourage you in your trouble. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul speaks at length about how we comfort other people because we comfort them with the same comfort that we receive from other people who were led by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to close. And I don't want to keep you any longer because some of you have been here for over an hour. But I want you to release everything to the Lord and let Him remove the poison from your soul that this time of loss has taken. It's taken something out of all of us. But God doesn't want it to poison our soul. Allow God's abiding love to encourage you. And Christ is ready to stand in the gap between you and your loss and to be your constant companion during these difficult times. God loves you. He is love. Ask Jesus to love you through all of this and to get your eyes off the problem and onto Him. So petition Him. Listen to the words of compassion in the Scripture. Listen to the words of preaching by the Holy Spirit. And allow the Lord's comforters to be a blessing to your heart. Let's close in prayer. Father, as I close, I know that these good folks are Christian people. They belong to You. But Father, for the moment, I just share that Jesus died for us, and we praise You for that. That Jesus bore upon Himself all of our sin, past, present, and future. And that Jesus rose again to justify us in Your holy eyes and to reconcile us back to You. And Father, if there happens to be one that does not understand this truth, may they acknowledge they are a sinner. May they acknowledge Your love and provision in Christ and in His resurrection and put all their faith in Christ alone. Faith alone in the Savior alone. Bless these dear folks. Strengthen them. Use the message, Almighty God, for the future, for whatever it holds. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you and hope to see you all again next week. Take care and be safe. Forget it as you leave the parking lot to email me if you recognize the second hymn played today. And the first person who emails Pastor Tony will get a Tony Chocolony. God bless you all and have a safe week. Bye-bye.